The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. The FA Cup second round is here, a round of magic for all involved, a chance to shine, create memories and history, but also in much part because of the carrot of the big boys if the third round can be reached. Nine non-league sides in action this weekend and all miss each other, so nine chances for cup sets. Or maybe nine chances for non-league heartbreak. We talk with Phil Annette in his at FA Cup fact file mode to tap into his knowledge and insight into the greatest cup competition in the world. With a bucket full of FA Cup memories already, Willstone assistant boss Paul Hughes is hoping his side's Saturday morning kickoff will be another one to add to his list. A local derby for the National League is against top of Division 1 Wickham Wanderers. He admits it won't be easy, but having trained with and under some of the best in the world, he's made his own magical memories too and seen his side hit form inspired by the community around it. Maybe this is just another one for the pot. Matt Badcock returns to head up the non-league paper roundup, and of course there is FA Cup focus, but there's also weather talk, teams on the up, and that managerial merry-go-round. Time then to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Well, let's start off the week then. We let him off last week, didn't we? We let him have the week off. I'm hoping that he avoided the temptations that may have been there, and he comes back from the autumnal break that he's had, having not been heavy smoking, excessive drinking, alcohol, avoiding those junk food binges, as I know many players succumb to. Indeed, I hope he's back fighting fit, because this weekend his nous, his knowledge, his know-how probably is more in demand than a Black Friday deal on a Ninja double air fryer or a Bluey interactive toy. Yes, it's a pleasure to welcome back once again to the Non-League Football Show our FA Cup guru. It's at FA Cup Fact File. Mr. Phil Annette, welcome back, Phil.
Good to be back, yes. I didn't feel like I'd been that long away, but now you make it feel like I've been away forever. But yeah, you only get one for one this year, not two for one this week on Black Friday.
And I'd imagine that's probably the quietest week you've had, since the 1st of July?
Very much so, yes. No cup competitions at all happened last weekend, and no prepping for any until this weekend coming up. So, yeah, has been a nice, didn't know what to do with myself. So, yeah, it was nice.
Well, you know, remember those memories, because you're back on it. We've got nine non-league representatives left in this season's FA Cup yes. competition, a mix of experience and complete newbies almost of getting that past this round into the third. Three clubs from step three, which is the seventh tier. Is this what normally happens this time of year?
It feels low in terms of the numbers for non-league clubs. You normally get double figures, I would say, in the second round. And you normally usually get an all non-league tie as well, which we haven't got. So that's quite an interesting dynamic this time around. We have nine clubs and they're all facing EFL opposition, which means that we have an opportunity, I guess, to break the record for the most number of non-league clubs in the third round if they all win. Mm. Or equal record for the least number if they all lose, or somewhere in between, I suppose. But there you are. That's what's up for grabs this weekend.
And I like the glass being more than half full. So we'll go for the massive cup sets this weekend, and it will need a cup set. We'll start with Gainsborough Trinity. They're the Friday night 7:45 game on BBC Two. That's a good time for non-leaguers in recent times.
I just love the stat about them and the last time they reached the third round.
Yeah, it's they're up against Harrogate Town, a non-league club themselves, only 5 or 6 years ago. They're appearing in the second round for the first time in 72 years, which is phenomenal enough in itself. But the winners of this tie will equal their best ever FA Cup run. For Harrogate, that was 3 years ago. But for Keynesborough Trinity, the Football League hadn't even started when they last made the third round. So that is going way, way, way back in time. And it will be a phenomenal achievement if they can get through at Harrogate Town on Friday night.
And that's the magic of non-league. It's the magic of the FA Cup. I know we've got lots of listeners across the world, and I'd imagine majority have got some sort of expat that sort of links and that sort of thing. But if you were to tell a foreign fan of football that that was the case, they'd just look at you blankly as if you were talking some sort of odd language, which us non-leaguers often do.
Yeah, I mean, and Gainsborough Trinity themselves actually had been a league club in the early days of the competition. So even in those days, it didn't make it as far as the third round. So, yeah, this is a very historic, and it would create a new competition record for the longest gap between appearances at that stage of the competition if they were to achieve it.
Yeah, so it's a massive game for all these non-league clubs there. Of course, you know, Gainsborough Trinity, but they've already beaten, what, Step 2 Darlington, Step 1 Boston United, Hensford in that last round game, which, it's a blockbuster movie waiting to happen anyway, isn't it? To recreate that one. Division 2 Scout would be a nice addition to that set, but Harbour Town, I think they've probably got the biggest story of this this season's FA Cup, but a tough trip to Reading.
Yes, so Harbour Town, who are already 4 rounds further than they've ever been in the competition before, appearing in this second round for the first ever time, and that's surprising. And they go up to Reading, who only 10 years ago were FA Cup semi-finalists, and at Harbour, and they've only had 12 campaigns anyway in the competition, so it's a real mismatch in terms of FA Cup experience, and a wonderful opportunity for Harbour Town to get themselves noticed on the football map. We know that Reading lost a non-league position last year, albeit a much higher club in the shape of Eastleigh, but every chance there with Harbour Town on a fantastic roll. Who knows what might happen on a Sunday afternoon.
Who knows what might happen on a Sunday afternoon? Indeed, it will certainly grab headlines, I think, across the world if there was a cup set there. Ironically, I think this is the only tie guaranteed to make history for whatever club wins. But two clubs well known to non-league fans, Solihull Moors, the non-league representatives, this one. But certainly in recent seasons, they've had the better FA Cup record.
Well, they have, yes. In recent times, they've made several appearances in the second round of the FA Cup. I think this is their seventh or eighth consecutive year that they're in the proper round, which is pretty impressive stuff as well. And they take on Bromley, who obviously they met in the playoff final just last season. So there's already a bit of bite to the tie as it is with that. But the mere fact that neither team has ever been beyond the second round of the competition before just adds that extra bit of spice to the proceedings on the final game of the round on late Sunday afternoon.
It creates an extra tingle to it all, doesn't it? It really does. And then we move on to the FA Cup's leading scorers in the competitions. They've got a home tie and a chance for a three-step cup set on that Sunday lunchtime BBC Two game.
Yeah, Kettering Town, stretching their lead at the top of the goal-scoring charts in the competition with a fantastic run this season, getting themselves through to the second round, looking to make the third round for the first time in 16 years. A three-step cup set would be quite an achievement, but with home advantage, you've got to believe they've got a chance, and they proved that against Northampton in the last round, going on to an extra-time victory. So we know that they've got the capabilities on the day. It's just, will it happen? And will we see them score even more goals to stretch their lead further ahead of Tottenham in that particular competition?
Yeah, and another team that created a cup set last time round on the TV, Tamworth. This time, 2 p.m. on the Sunday afternoon. They travelled to Burton Albion for, it sounds almost like a recurring regular match, this one.
Yeah, since 1954, actually, this will be the ninth time the two sides have been drawn against each other in the FA Cup. They've won four times each in those past meetings, but Tamworth won the only other time they met each other in the proper rounds of the competition. I think they won 2-1 back in the year 2000. So, you know, they've got a little bit of history on their side. They've already knocked out Huddersfield in the last round. Yes, it's away from home, but Burton Albion struggling in their division. So there's another place where we could see a cup set in the competition this weekend.
Oh, cup set. I just want to see that headline written large all the way across the weekend. I think there's only one Step 2 side remaining, Brackley Town. They're travelling to a club we've covered, well, many a cup set from their recent time in non-league times, Stockport County. They're in the Football League now, and I recall Stockport losing at this stage to Aldershot last term, so there's something for Brackley to hold on to. But anything else you can tell us, Phil?
Well, yes, Brackley are the only level six or step six club remaining in the competition. Interestingly, in the National League, there's only six clubs in total in the FA Cup in the second round, which is actually the joint lowest tally of clubs at this stage of the competition since the North and South divisions were created 20 years ago. So not a golden year so far for the National League this season. But for Brackley, this is a great opportunity for them to get themselves into the third round for the very, very first time. And, you know, they caused a minor cup set in the last round. So this will be a bigger ask for them. But, yeah, Stockport, as you said, did get done over by non-league last season. So it could be their lightning striking again for the second time.
Indeed. If you're a manager, if you're a coach, if you're anybody involved in your club, that's the sort of stat that you want to hang on to. We featured them a few weeks back on the show, but Oldham Athletic might have promotion as their goal, but they're really geared up for this FA Cup success this time, aren't they? The previously quarter finalists, of course.
Semi-finalists, indeed.
Over 1,100, I think, already off to support their club at Lake Norrin. And it's another one of those games where the clubs are no stranger to each other. And this is, again, a decider.
It is, yes, that's right. So actually, both clubs have made semi-finals in the past. But this is the fifth time that they're paired together in the FA Cup with two wins apiece in last four matches. I think Oldham won the last two, so they're on a bit of a roll in terms of victories. So, you know, again, away from home, it's going to be tough to get over that two-step gap. But as you said, if their players are up for it as much as their fans are, then they've got every chance.
And we're going to speak to Paul Hughes, the Willstone assistant manager, shortly to see if his side's 11:30 a.m. kickoff against Wycombe Wanderers is going to affect their preparations. But are you aware of any earlier round two kickoff time, Phil?
I'm not sure about round two, but there have been AM kickoff times in the FA Cup in the past, but it isn't a very common occurrence. And I was quite surprised when I saw that was the case. I'm not 100% sure why it's happening. You might know more of the reason why. But
I guess because they're local sides, you know, they've decided, and it's probably policing and security is an issue, but... Yeah, there's not a great distance between the two clubs, so I guess it's expected that fans won't have a problem getting to the ground. But if you're a Wildstone fan, you know, I wish them all the success, but if they get a cup set here, they're going to be rubbing their eyes anyway, but that with such an early kickoff, they'd all be bleary-eyed. But it's a while since they last got to beyond this stage.
Yeah, that's right. Their record running the cup takes them through to the third round. So a victory here against Wycombe would equal that run, but it's quite a while since they last did it. It was 47 years ago, so you know, it's a long time waiting. And with home advantage, maybe they'll catch their opponents still napping. Yeah. You never know with such an early kickoff time.
Yeah, I don't imagine too much Saturday traffic locally there, but I'm sure it will play havoc with somebody's body clock, whether that's the players, the coaches, or maybe the officials. Have the officials ever refereed since they first started refereeing at junior level? I don't know. We'll find out. Dagenham and Redbridge head off to AFC Wimbledon on the Saturday evening match. That's going to be featured on ITVX. They did beat Crewe Alexandra last round. I think Leiston the round previous, and both of those were also away. So. Anything else Ben Strevens can add to his motivational talk there? You know, we're brilliant away from home. This is just another one.
Yeah, I mean, that's great that they've gone through two rounds already from away from home. And this shows that they can perform other people's grounds and come away with a victory. But, you know, it's a while since they've made the third round. And it's 9 years, I think, since they last did so. And then they were a Football League side. So you have to go back 20 years, I think, since they last made the third round as a non-league team. So it'll be great for them to do it. AFC Wimbledon, a tough tie for them away from home. But yeah, their away form is proving strong. So yeah, a chance there as much as anywhere else.
So nine non-leaguers to look out for, nine separate ties to look out for. But of course, many other ties, not including non-league clubs this weekend. Any standout stats you think we should know about this round and the clubs involved, Phil?
Well, all the major stats agree with the non-league sides, but it might surprise a few people that there is actually a league side here who, if they win their tie, they would actually set a new club record for themselves, and that is Salford City, who have never yet been beyond the second round of the competition, who host Cheltenham Town. So they have their best chance to make it into the third round, and a chance maybe for them to face Man United, which I'm sure that would be the TV exec's dream tie of all time, if that was them.
I'm sure. And then I'm sure many... I've already seen a few sort of well-known faces, well-known names, commentators liking your output already this week, Phil. Hopefully you get full credit on their commentaries as they go through. But before I let you go, you better remind everybody where else they can find all your stats, facts and insight in the world of social media, please.
So, yes, I'm very prevalent on Twitter / X at FA Cup Factfile. You can check out my recent feed for facts and stats for all 20 of the second round ties, non-league and league clubs, all covered there. And also I cover both the FA Vars and FA Trophy at FA Vars Fact File and at FA Trophy Facts. And if you enjoy what I do on the FA Cup, then you should follow those accounts as well for those two competitions.
We certainly enjoy it. We certainly enjoy having you back on the Non-League Football Show. Phil Annetts, welcome back. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks so much.
So let's stay with the FA Cup then. And an old friend of the show, and indeed an old friend of my own. After a very successful playing career, he moved into management. I first came across him sculpting his trade as a reserve team manager in the newly merged Hayes and Yedding United. He moved on to success as joint manager at Kings Langley with Richie Hanlon, and in both moving back to head the first team at Hayes and Yedding United with more success to follow. Bowing out with silverware for some family time, he was soon back assistant at Neighbours Wealdstone, and it's there now that he prepares for a TV tie in the FA Cup. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show assistant manager at Wealdstone FC, Mr. Paul Hughes. Welcome back, Paul.
Pleasure, Tim. Nice to speak to you again, mate.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, but always good to get you on the show, of course. As manager with Hayes and United, you achieved a feat that I don't think is ever going to be beaten, taking a step three side to the FA Cup first round in three successive seasons. One of those achieved by beating a Wealdstone side, no less, too. You had a tough trip last round at Grimsby, a great result, but also probably some relief to make it through to the second round yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough place to go. They're a good team. We were starting to a little bit of form in the league, so it was quite a good time for us to go there. I think we were quite high in confidence. And the lads put an absolute shift in. I mean, you don't beat, you know, a League Two team like that unless you work your socks off, and that's what the lads did. And I think they thoroughly deserved to win and thoroughly deserved to get that shot at Wickham in the second round.
Yeah, and you say you hit form, you're still in that form. I guess you're up on the stats, but the Stones last made the third round in this 77-78 season. They achieved that by beating two Football League clubs, Hereford United and Reading. a chance here with Wickham, your next potential victims?
Well, obviously we're doing our best to prep the lads for the game. I think we're going in, well, we're definitely going in confident. We think we're going into every game with that confidence at the moment. But let's, you know, let's make no bones about it. They're a very, 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 very good team. They're not sitting top of League One. For no reason, we went to watch them beat Mansfield 1-0 the other night. So, yeah, we know exactly what we're up against, and it's going to be a very, very tough game. But you've got to go in believing you can win. Otherwise, you know what my mindset's like. You know, what's the point of turning up if you don't think you can win the game?
Yeah. And Wickham themselves have actually, I think they've beaten the last six non-league clubs they're put in front of them in the FA Cup, including a late winner at Church Road, which I still still haunts me. But those sort of runs are there to be broken. You should say your mindset's always about the positives. But how does the 11:30 a.m. kickoff for TV play in your hands, or does it play into theirs?
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, they're obviously used to the routine of 3 o'clock kickoffs. Maybe we move our kickoff times a little bit more. I don't know. We're probably used to, with a hybrid setup, used to sort of more erratic time to train. So maybe that change in kickoff time will affect them more than it affects us, I hope. but yeah, it's a strange time to kick off. It will affect everyone's prep. But look, that's what the TV has made us do. So we're fine with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it whatever happens. We should also talk about your playing days. You played in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup as a player, and people, should check out that amazing run and goal on your Premier League debut. I'll let them find it. But you were a local lad, signed by Chelsea as a pro as they hit that 90s crest of a wave. Every schoolboy's dream. I'm guessing back then you had family and friends keeping you grounded. But now you've been in non-league for a long while. You must see kids coming out of the pro game, even now, ruined by maybe that early promise of the glitz and glamour.
It's a tough one, actually. I mean, ruined's obviously a strong word, but I think that their expectations may not have been met. And I think that it's quite a harsh reality dropping out of the pro game and realising you've got to find football somewhere. And maybe not wanting to drop down to the non-league level is a big part of it. But I think clubs are slowly waking up to the fact that they need that help from non-league clubs to sort of, I guess, bridge that gap between youth academy football and first team football. I think there is a gap there that is pretty big. But no, we've got a couple of lads on loan from pro clubs with us at the moment who have done a brilliant job for us. So the ones that are in front of me right now, I can only commend on their attitude and how well they've done for Wildstone. But I do think there's definitely a gap between first team football at Premier League level and those professional levels and the reality of making a living in the game at non-league and the lower levels.
And I guess that's where people like you with so much experience, knowledge of the game can help and sort of help non-league, get those players to find their own potential. I mean, when you were at Chelsea, you had managers like Hullett, Vialli, fellow midfielders like Di Matteo, Poyet, Deschamps. I mean, they were international superstars of their era, if not history. So with that blend of cultures, different ways of doing things, did that help mould you? Did that make you a better person, better player, better manager now?
I think I was 100% blessed with that, the experience of that era at Chelsea and the players that you just mentioned and training with them and picking up good habits and looking at how they do things and how they see the game. I think I had a very, very fortunate upbringing, without a doubt. And I had excellent coaches. I mean, Hoddle, Ricks, they're all brilliant coaches as well, I felt. They taught you the game. So, no, I mean, I was very, very fortunate. I do think it does help having had that background and the way I see the game. But as always, you develop your own philosophy on the game, and I've been in non-league long enough to know how that game works. But yeah, I think it's nice to have experienced the high end, because you certainly know how the game could and should be played, and you can sort of blend that with the reality of football lower down the pyramid.
And one comment I'm always hearing about you from players is that you run fun coaching sessions. And I know you mentioned, touched upon that hybrid model that you've gone to this season. But is fun perhaps even more important now when you're asking, hybrid part-time players still to train to be ready to face opposition at the weekend, do a full-time pros, and that's relevant this weekend and most weeks in the National League too?
Yeah, that's nice feedback, Tim. I didn't know that. I thought I was quite harsh on the place.
Well, there were a few comments like that, but no, it's always been that they enjoyed going to training.
Well, I think it's a nice thing you said, because I think that if you're not enjoying training, then don't play. You know, if you don't enjoy playing, don't play. I mean, I think that's a prerequisite to be a footballer, is you have to enjoy it. And I do think that if there's a playful element to training and there's an element of enjoyment and fun to it, you get more out of the players, you get better out of the players, you get more creativity out of the players, which I think is an important part of being a football player. So, I do think it should be enjoyable. I do think it should be fun. And I think that takes the edge off the pressure of the dressing room as well. They know, you know, when we mean business, but they also know that we're here to enjoy our football at the same time. And again, getting that balance right isn't easy. But I think it's key if you want a successful team.
And I can already hear people scratching their head. Hybrid, what does that mean? What does it mean for you guys?
Well, basically, it means two mornings a week and one evening. So a Monday, Tuesday morning and a Thursday evening. So not quite a professional setup, but sort of halfway there.
Yeah. And then being part-time, you know, that's yourself as well as a player. Does that mean you need a different sort of player from maybe others at the level? Different sort of athletes, different sort of mental strength and character?
What, to be part-time, you mean?
Yeah, just to fit that model.
I would say that sort of 90% of the players at Wealdstone, that's what they do for a living, because they're young enough to survive on those wages. But the ones that we've kept, the more experienced ones that do have jobs, they, you know, they're used to it. They're used to training Tuesday, Thursday nights. They know how to look after themselves. They know how to get ready for games. They know how to prepare their bodies. So those ones that do have jobs are quite experienced and they know what they're doing. So, they know their way around non-league football.
And as I said, knowing what you're doing, you had a great successful time as a manager. How's the switch to assistant been rather than being the gaffer?
Less stress, less phone calls. I've enjoyed it. I really love supporting people. Actually, I enjoy supporting that. I enjoy being there and bouncing ideas and helping him develop, you know, the things he wants to develop. I found that part of it really enjoyable. Obviously, you know, you're not the decision maker. You're just helping Matt make decisions and throwing ideas, which obviously is different. But I've quite enjoyed that part of it. Learned a lot from Matt. Actually, Matt's been excellent, I think, and he's navigated a really tough start. I've been really impressed with his manner and the way he's carried himself through that. Into a period where we are hitting form and we're winning games. So as always, mate, it's been an up and down, left and right, zigzag journey, which is what football is. But we enjoy that, right? We enjoy those ups, those downs and those unexpected moments.
Yeah. I'm guessing you knew Gaffer Matt Taylor from your Luton Town playing days, because the relationship between manager and assistant is so important in building any sort of success.
Yeah. So I've known Matt. Yeah, since my days at Luton, he was a young lad coming through the ranks, and he was a great player. And what impressed me most was his attitude. You know, if we give the ball away, he was a young lad. He was not frightened of telling you. You know, and I was, 26, 27, a more established pro then. But he'd share his point of view, and hasn't surprised me that he's gone on and had the mettle and the steel to become a manager.
Yeah, and usually a new gaffer comes in, old coaching staff move out. Yeah. You've sort of been in and around the Wealdstone setup now for a while. You've always had a strong affinity with the club, but I also know from my own connections, it's one that sort of gets under your skin, doesn't it? It probably even more so when you're immense with it. It's a proper community club because, you know, everybody mixes with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got a very good culture at the club throughout, from the board all the way through to the dressing room and the senior players there. It's an enjoyable place to be. It's a pleasant place to be. Obviously, we're setting standards and we're making sure that everyone lives to those standards and behaves by those standards. But the culture itself is a family culture. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks out for each other. And, you know, what football can be like, it can be quite a selfish industry. And, you know, I think Wilston's a great example of a culture where it doesn't have to be that way. You know, you can look out for each other. We look, granted, we know as management, we still know that with, you know, our future is very much dependent on results. We still, you know, we're grown boys, we understand that. But there's an element of conversation, interaction, that I think is quite respectful and quite adult. So, yeah, that's how I'll describe it.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Grosvenor Vale is going to be rocking on Saturday. I mean, it's quite a remarkable transformation for the ground previously used, well, by Ruislip Manor, with crowds of double figures. I remember going to a few matches there. But you had this, you've got this carrot now of outline planning permission for a new, what, 6,000-plus stadium adjacent to the A40 Hillingdon Station at the old Master Brewer site. What does that mean for the club? And importantly, what does it mean for staff like yourself?
Well, look, I think it's the next stage to the club's evolution, right? I mean, they do need a bigger stadium. They do need those facilities to improve. We know that. You know, the stadiums we go to in the National League are very impressive, as you know. So, yeah, it's just the next part. The club's constantly moving. It's got, like I said, it's got a board there that are constantly supporting and coming up with ideas and ways to move the club forward. So it doesn't surprise me that this is quite a long way down the road and hopefully a reality. Quite soon, but yeah. When the answer to your question about the management, I guess it's just nice to be part of that journey with the club, you know, helping them get to that stage.
Yeah, and Saturday morning then an early start. I'd imagine might impact on some routines, but for big games like this, the stats, the facts, relationships, people that you know, their clubs being local, I'd imagine most of the preparation's already done.
The prep for the Wickham game.
Yeah.
Look, you know, we're very thorough with our prep, and you know that's some of the professionalism that Matt's brought to the club as well. So we're 100% prepared for the game. In terms of the club welcoming the cameras and that amount of people, I know there's a lot of work, as you know, more than anyone that goes behind the scenes. You know, when we had those cup runs with Hayes, that there's an awful lot of work that has to happen to facilitate those crowds and those camera people. So they've got that all in hand. They've got a lot of people there working behind the scenes, and they're, you know, they're all fantastic people.
All you've got to do is turn up then on Saturday, yeah?
Yeah, basically. we've got to turn up, and hopefully the game plan works, which, as you know, 5 minutes into the game plan goes out the window and you've got to focus on what's happening in front of you. But no, look, we're prepared, and we'll give our best, as you know.
And I sense, even though you've maybe got the less stress on your shoulders no longer being gaffer, you're enjoying football as much as ever.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I've got an affiliation with the club, and it's an opportunity that was sort of always around, and it just seemed the right time to take it. And I think assistant manager is the right position, and I'm assisting the right person. I think he's got a fantastic, you know, future ahead of him, Matt. And I'm just really excited to help the club. As you know, it is a local club to me, the same as Hayes. I'm a Greenford boy, so I've got affiliation now. I know people that have played there and knew Gordon Bartlett quite well. So, yeah, I'm just really pleased to be part of their journey, mate.
Well, we're really pleased to be part of it as well. Paul Hughes, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Good luck at the weekend and for the rest of the season. We'll speak to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Top man. Bye-bye.
Time once again then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. A time for a welcome back once again to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Backcock. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm feeling very non-leaguey this week. Big attention will, of course, be on the non-league representatives in this weekend's FA Cup second round. Had some fantastic previews in last week's paper. I was already looking forward to the games, but I think they just heightened it.
Well, that's what we're hoping, that there's going to be some big results over the weekend, aren't we? Obviously, as he kicks off with Gainsborough on Friday night at Harrogate, and the way their run's been at the moment, or to get to this stage, you kind of even wouldn't put it past him causing another upset. You know, they were seconds away from beating Boston in the fourth round qualifying, and conceded a late goal, literally last kick of the game, kind of it equalised, sort of took it back to a replay at Boston, but they went there and produced an unbelievable result. I think it was 4-0 to get through to the first round. And they had that sort of crazy, epic, madcap encounter with Hensford in the first round, where they found themselves 3-0 down and managed to get it back to extra time, and then they had this epic penalty shootout. So they've sort of certainly earned their way to this second round game against Harrogate that kicks off the weekend on live TV on Friday night. And then, as you say, lots more to follow with Wealdstone on Saturday morning at Wickham. I think we'll have to get Phil Annetts on to find out if that's the earliest ever FA Cup kickoff. That probably has been early ones back in the day, possibly. But and then, yeah, we've got Oldham at Leighton Orient, and we and Bratley off to Stockport County on Saturday afternoon, and Dagenham evening kickoff at Wimbledon. So that'll be Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday, of course, there's more to come, and that's where we've got lots of previews in this week's paper for that one. Kettering at home to Doncaster, and Tamworth off to Burton, and Harbour making the trip to Reading. You know, Harbour, another unbelievable story in this year's FA Cup. We already have having a great run, historic run as it was to get to the where they have to, is even more a dreamland for them. And then Solihull Moors against Bromley, a rematch of that playoff final, promotion final from last season. So yeah, lots to talk about of FA Cup this weekend, that's for sure. And as we always say, where there's going to be a shock somewhere, where will it be?
Yeah, full of those stories. And your interview and the piece in last weekend's paper, Matt Kretschmar's story, could become one of the FA Cup's greatest stories, couldn't it? Particularly because it's that early kickoff. So Saturday afternoon and with his in-laws could be very quiet, couldn't it?
Well, this is it. Yeah, his in-laws are big Wickham fans, and he it's kind of the club that he started at, and he got his breakthrough. It's where he met his wife, kind of sort of through Wickham as well. And I think he couldn't quite believe it when that tie came out for Wealdstone. And there's it'll be divided loyalties, I'm sure, in the family on Saturday. But I'm sure they'll want to be seeing if Max and the Stones can get through that one. You know, what a real tough task. We can fly in League One, aren't they? But it's kind of another part of the story. It's quite interesting that he sort of said, you know, he'd got to the third round when he was at Wickham and they played Aston Villa, but he didn't play. And then he was a big part of Woking's run to the third round a few years ago when they played Watford, and he got injured just before that, and so he didn't play. So he kind of was saying, you know, these moments don't come along and very often, and you know, it's about trying to really make the most of it. And was say so this kind of feels a bit of a different. There's a bit of a different vibe to the second round, isn't there? You know, the first round's kind of all that, you know, traditional first round FA Cup day excitement, whereas second round, you've got that as well. But then there's that added, you know, spice to the game where if you can get through, you're into that third round and you're dreaming of a real big gun, and that can be life changing for clubs and players alike. So it's yeah, lots to play for, lots on the line over the 3 days.
Yeah, I'm sure those Hollywood producers will be looking at the stories and yeah, maybe there's a blockbuster yet to have. Of course, it's a weekend when the majority of non-leaguers do put aside rivalries, support their brethren, because yeah, it's all good for non-league. And it was nice to see old friend of the show and indeed the paper, Steve Burr, getting into the show-off mode, really, wasn't it? With some silky ball skills in a good luck message on Twitter of X. If you haven't seen that, do go and have a look at that. We love a bit of good news, and hopefully we'll have some of that from the FA Cup. But after reporting about the worrying future of West allotment Celtic last time you were with us, Matt, I think it was great to see the club announce that the last 2 weeks have been, well, packed with support, both financially and practically, meaning that they are ready to resume Northern League action this weekend with the visit of Blythe Town. Certainly not out of the woods yet, and there's still plenty of ongoing appeals going out there for support in every form for the club to continue in the long term, but short term at least, a great example of all the good that non-league can do when it does rally round its own.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, sure, there's lots to be kind of sorted out. You know, it won't all be, you know, sunshine and rainbow straight away, will it, from from the situation that they were in a couple of weeks ago, as you say, having to sort of kind of almost take a bit of a stopgap just for a couple of weeks to try and gather themselves. And good news that they can continue, because we kind of see it more and more these days, don't we? Clubs kind of do have to pull out during the season for various reasons, and it's not great for obviously for the club itself and the supporters, but then everybody else. There's always that knock-on effect as well, isn't there? That the ramifications get felt right through the season and the league, but then also in the summer with allocations and all that kind of thing. So it's great to see when, as you say, everyone kind of rallies around behind clubs and shows how many how high regard the club's held in a real famous name in non-league, aren't they? So good to see, and hopefully they can kind of keep moving forward and progressing on this path now.
Yeah, and again, other good news covered very well in last weekend's paper, the return to a permanent home for Cambridge City. All being well, they're going to host Tilbury this Saturday in the Isthmian League at their new Sawston ground. 11 years since their departure from Milton Road and various legal actions that followed that we've covered on the show throughout the years. And it's always like this, weekends like this, great for people like old friend of the show, old friend of the paper, Kevin Satchell, the chairman there. I know he's literally put blood, sweat and tears into making this happen. And indeed, for the club to still be around, as we discuss week in, week out.
Yeah, I think that's hit the nail on the head there, Tim, with the fact that the club is still around is kind of, remarkable in itself. I actually was lucky enough to, piece won't be in this Sunday's paper, unless there's, absolutely, as the weather completely turns, but the plan is not for it to be in this week's paper, but in the next couple of weeks. But I was fortunate enough to go down there on Tuesday, down to the new ground at Sawston, and kind of see it in the flesh. And first of all, it looked really, it's really impressive when you just kind of pull around the corner and you see the ground, see the stadium, kind of a black and white kind of panelling on the outside, and really looks. It feels like a really nice place. It'll become a really nice place to watch a game of football, and you can see how much love and care has been put into to get into this point. And there's lots more to kind of do at the stadium than we're doing internal fit and stuff. But I sort of sat there with Kevin and general manager Stu as well, and you can sort of see the. What's it like to build a stadium? How's it been? And kind of stressful was the word that kind of kept coming up. But you can sort of see in everybody's eyes there, actually how much it means, that real emotion. And kind of think we sort of forget that on the outside. There's kind of been a lot of, down the years of what's happening in Cambridge City, and they sort of bounce between their two different ground chairs at Histon and St Ives. And you kind of forget that, or we don't see how much work's been going in, and to get them to this stage, and they'd hoped to be in here a lot earlier. As you say, there's been lots of legal obstacles that they've had to kind of overcome and been cropped up and thrown at them that they've had to deal with, and it's I imagine it's been very expensive, and they were enjoying the sort of the stress though of having to get all the things ordered in and bar stock that they haven't been having to do for the last 11 years really. And I can tell whatever the result is on the pitch, or what a day it will be for them on Saturday, and I think they've got a game on Tuesday night as well. When those turnstiles finally open and people start ticking through, and hopefully this can be a new beginning for them to really push on and push back up the pyramid, kind of where we were sort of so used to seeing them down the years.
Yeah, again, maybe another Hollywood blockbuster waiting to be written. They say, on personal sort of stress levels, births, deaths, marriages, weddings, divorces. I'd imagine as a football chairman, losing your ground, going through court cases, relegations, losing managers, living hand to mouth. If they were measuring blood pressure of chairman and boards, and Cambridge City's would probably be right up there. So of course, when you endure one of those, what do? You throw a party. That's what they're going to be doing on Saturday, hopefully in that game. you say there's still a fit out to do at the ground there, Matt. Is that a long term plan, or were you aware of sort of how they're going to achieve that in the short term and medium term?
Well, I think there's quite, you know, as you sort of go down there, there's lots of kind of contractors buzzing around and looking at things. I think what they kind of say is they hope that it will, you know, at least sort of part of it will be finished up by next summer and things like that, so that they can really start using the sort of the downstairs, because they've got big plans for sort of, you know, just not just on match day, but stuff through the week as well, and events and people, lots of people wanting to come in and use their spaces and things. And they've already kind of been really working hard to get themselves into the sort of community where they are, where the ground is based. It's kind of just outside Cambridge. I think it's technically is a village, but it's quite a large village, Sawston. And they've been doing lots of work for years in the schools anyway to kind of sort of prepare for this point. So there's lots of sort of excitement and buzz around the place for people to kind of get in there. So that will be that is their sort of like their aim kind of over the coming months to, you know, for that to kind of all carry on. And but I think, you know, getting football on is the big thing for them now, and they're sort of pleased to be able to do that from now, and then they can have a big kind of grand official opening of everything ahead of next season, I think is the kind of the hope. But lots of really good people down there who've been, you know, put all their all in, and I think kind of just a reminder of what non-league's about, and that kind of, you know, that real sort of family connections to club, and, you know, what it means to kind of, you know, have your club and be doing as much as you can and contributing and making a difference for everybody else to sort of kind of enjoy, and that sort of that love that comes from that, and that connection that comes from that of being part of a non-league club. And it'll be a proud day on Saturday, I'm sure.
Yeah, I look forward to reading your piece in the coming weeks. Of course, yeah, last week, as you touched upon, the week before, all hit by the weather hard. Lydney Town, one that comes to mind, with their ground literally underwater. Again, if you've not seen the videos on social, well worth a look. Some great work by grounds teams up and down the land, though, to get things back to some sort of normality, because the pitch is soddened and they need lots of work. Usual gripes, though, with late postponements. I'm pretty sure, though, that there isn't a club across the land that deliberately waits until an hour before kickoff for a game to be called off. So spare them a thought, hold your whinges, spare them a pound or two as well, because as we said last week, all those games that are called off cost clubs considerably more financially than most of us are ever going to know.
Yeah, definitely, especially, you know, at this time of the year where we're getting into that point where, you know, how many games are going to be called off over the coming weeks. You know, we probably will see, you know, we haven't really kind of had terribly bad sort of kind of frost last year, did we? Cold last year, that much from sort of memory. But, you know, if we get another really bad bad winter, then it, you know, it can often wipe out weeks at a time at a really critical time of the year. Anyway, and, you know, Tuesday midweek attendances are always going to be slightly down from those Saturdays, and as you say, there's a lot gone into it to get that game ready and have all the stock in, and you know what happens to all that. You know, again, we often don't sort of think about it, but I think actually last Saturday I was kind of woke up with quite a lot of dread and thinking, well, you know, what are we gonna have to deal with this afternoon paper wise, and how are we gonna have to rejig things? And actually, sort of the MPL East was sort of a total wipeout. But generally speaking, the majority of leagues kind of really did survive. And you know, again, that is testament to the people that are, they say, the ground staff out there working on the pitches and getting the games on. You know, sometimes you just can't do anything about the weather, and you have to sort of hold your hands up. But you could see that it was all over Twitter in the morning. You kind of see various examples of fans coming down and helping, and clubs themselves, you know, getting games on and putting all the effort in to make sure that some football could be played. And I think we really saw that last weekend. We can always judge how bad a weekend is if we have to come down in the number of pages, and we didn't have to last week, so that shows it was an overall good weekend.
Yeah, looking at all those those pictures on the on social as well. I was thinking, we need a non-league brand of wellies, don't we? I mean, there's a definite need for wellies. You know, all the equestrian sports have their own brand of wellies. We need a non-league brand. Obviously, we're in the build-up towards Christmas. Goodwill to all men, probably not if you're a manager, because that merry-go-round's been busy again. The big one this week, Angelo Harrop departing Braintree Town. Two playoffs in two seasons. They're outside the drop zone at present, but that's not enough in the National League, where it's a pretty cutthroat world.
Yeah, I think Angelo's has obviously done a very, very good job at Braintree. You know, to not many kind of people would expect them to be in the playoffs that first year, and then obviously follow that up last year and they beat Bath in the eliminator and then went to Chelmsford in the semi-final, kind of as underdogs, came through a crazy game there and then went down to Worthing again as complete underdogs and won an even crazier game on the South Coast to get through. And I think I've sort of been interested to see some of Angelo's comments since he's left, and he's kind of saying he feels that it's... that he's taking the club as far as he can as well, and you know, it's kind of time for change all round. So you know, there'll be it's kind of one of those, you know, there'll be lots of people who'll be interested in that job, and I'm sure there'll be lots of clubs interested in the services of Angelo Harrop as well, because of what he's achieved there. So yeah, obviously had a couple of tough results the last two, with losing to Boston last weekend and then Maidenhead in the week. So it's definitely a job he can leave with his head held high for the results that he's produced in the position that he's left the club in.
Yeah, and as you say, none of us are ever fully aware of all the factors, you know, whether they're personal or within the club, or they're just, you know, just sheer tiredness, I'd imagine, for some managers as to why these departures happened. I mean, success clearly isn't a magic protector either. At Haworthheath Town, we mentioned them only last week on this show. They're in fine form. I think lost one game in the Skeffel Premier this season, just six conceded, flying high at the top. But named Rohan has been relieved of his duties. A fairly cryptic club statement stating our primary concern lies in the development of the entire club. So who knows what's gone on there? Who knows what will happen next? And similar head scratching in and around the North West Counties League, North Division Nelson, the second in the table. They've parted company with Aaron Ripley, their boss there. They are second, but they have played more games than many. But it just shows that you know, being a manager, however successful you are, when your time's up, it's up.
Yeah, we have so often say that, you know, it feels like you have to, used to be kind of, you have to win your next five, you know, can't lose five matches or you'd be kind of out on your ear. It seems to be even shorter than that these days, isn't it? And as you say, there's lots of often things going on behind the scenes that, you know, not always privy to, and you kind of look at things from the outside, and you know, it might seem like strange decisions, but yeah, you often don't know. We don't really sort of fully always know what's going on inside clubs, do we, and inside those four walls. And I guess that's why these behind the scenes documentaries are so popular, because it gives you that glimpse into what's going on and what's being said. But there's I think the fact will always remain that there's more people out there, more managers out there than there are jobs. So there'll always be somebody waiting to swoop in.
Yeah, another departure, Damian Martin from Brimscombe and Thrupp. But back in the dugout, and familiar one to him, Sean Saunders returning to Whitehawk, replacing Dave Altendorf. And that's just months after Saunders had left the role at the end of last season. We discuss it week in, week out, but you have to be slightly mad to be a manager, particularly to come back.
Yeah, well, they're definitely all mad. There's many times where I've interviewed so many of them over the years, I still can't quite work out what's going on, why they put themselves through it. But they do. There's that kind of that bug that they've got, and they want to keep torturing themselves, I think, probably all through the week and on a Friday night, thinking about the Saturday and then in the Saturday as well. And it's kind of all worth it when you get a result on Saturday and away you go again. So, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, clubs and managers are just right for each other, aren't they, as well? So sometimes that's often a factor. Sometimes that's why you go back. You think, actually, you know, this was the right fit for everybody concerned. And obviously Whitehawk will be hoping that can be the case, and they can start start climbing the table.
And of course, plenty of league action this weekend, weather permitting. Barnet now top of the National League after a win at Yeovil midweek, and they'll be hoping to retain that position. No game for Forest Green this weekend, or indeed the chasing Oldham Athletic, because they're in cup action. Again, it's just, it's so tight. It's refreshing to know that I think this title challenge might even go down to the final week at the top of the National League.
Yeah, it feels like it's a very different comparison to last year, where Chesterfield were kind of already easing away from everybody. I can't remember when we had a piece on our front page last year where they kind of think the bookies started paying out. I feel like it was in like November.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it was around this time of year. Yeah,
it feels like it was around now, sort of from off the top of my head. But yeah, it was kind of quite apparent early on that Chesterfield were not interested in making any sort of entertainment for a title race. They were just going to go and win it and go up, and fair play to them. Obviously everything below was fascinating, and this year it is, that title race, the way it is at the moment, you wouldn't want to predict it for a second. You look at York flying some great results, bounce back from their defeat against Forest Green, and then on Tuesday night go to Altrincham, and I can't remember what time I looked at it and saw 3-0 down and think, what's going on here? It's kind of, that's the beauty of the division this year, that it is so tight. And that's kind of what we all want as neutrals, isn't it? That kind of, we don't want a 2-horse race or a 3-horse race. What about a 4 or 5 one? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? If you could get down to that kind of final weekend and have some sort of like epic showdown where you're kind of bouncing between the grounds, seeing what's going on. And obviously the final day of the National League season this year is on a Monday, so it's kind of fit for that kind of that final day, seeing what's going on, everybody around, all full focus on the division. It'll be interesting to see, but there's so much football to be played that you wouldn't put past somebody kind of easing away in the new year if it's about getting those results, putting them together and seeing where it takes you.
A new manager, new maybe new owners, new investment, anything can happen. Similarly, in the north and south, as tight, there's a massive game in the north. Tabletop is Chorley hosting third place Curzon Ashton, but Curzon have got, 2 games in hand, 2 points behind Chorley. Massive, massive game. And in the south, the big game there, leaders Truro go to fifth place Dorking Wanderers. But again, as you say, all of these divisions, first to fifth to sixth, maybe seventh, could be looking at the title come the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I think we got to that point in the season now where it kind of, is that kind of cliche, isn't it? Where it kind of shakes out and you see where everybody's going to be. But these games now do have that real feel of, that's a big one. When we're kind of looking through and selecting what picture game we're going to go for, it's tough to choose all through the leagues, really, because there are so many good games, especially this weekend. But those two there, I'm pleased you picked those out, because they're the ones we're going for with pictures. So
there you go. See?
shows we made a decent decision.
It doesn't.
Whether it's 0-0 or not, that we'll probably both be 0-0 after this. But that's the sort of excitement of picking the games in the week and trying to predict things. But yeah, it does. As you say, there. Chorley flying at the top of the league and Curzon going so well again. Craig Martin there doing a fantastic job on the back of last season, when kind of people expect them to fade away. And I remember speaking to Craig quite far out, and he's saying, it's great, we love people kind of underestimating us, and we're here to stay kind of thing. We want to prove that we can, and they're following that up from last season as well. Played each other in the playoffs last year, didn't they, Chorley and Curzon? They went down to penalties from memory. It was a bit of a tight game. I think Chorley manager Andy Priest kind of even sort of slightly admitted that they may have been fortunate to squeeze through. So, but again, that's the sort of, again, how tight all these games and competitive all these games are. And that'll be a fascinating one this weekend. And Truro as well, talk of John Askey going down there, sort of kind of made his name in the north of the country, didn't he, really, with Macclesfield, and obviously that's the spell at York as well, and in the league with Port Vale, and I think he's at Shrewsbury as well. But any talks of him going down to Cornwall for a sort of a semi-retirement, enjoy putting his feet up and taking in the sea air, is definitely he's shown he's gone down there and meaning business as well, to be getting them into the title race now as well. And yeah, we all know what Dawkins' ambitions are. Mark White has certainly made an imprint on non-league football and really kind of, you know, really has helped grow the profile of the of the game outside the Football League in the last few years. And they'll be there to you know, trying to get in back into the non-league top flight at the first time of asking. Just hoping that we've got the kits right this time, because obviously that was the one earlier in the season, wasn't it, when Dawkins and their kits kind of clash and there's an inside out kind of a job. So hopefully they've got the kits sort of this time, or someone's got a bag of bibs that they can put on them instead if they need to.
Well, yeah, you know what I'm like. I've always got a spare set of leads. So if I was a kit man, I'd make sure that I had a spare set of kit just in case, just to be sure. I mean, that's if I've got room in my car, obviously, to carry that. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of room in the non-league paper this weekend with FA Cup action, league reports and everything else. But anything else you want to flag up for us this weekend?
Yeah, that's basically it. The FA Cup and FA Cup previews, really. Yeah, so there, lots in there from that point of view. I've also we've also hearing from Angelo Harrop. Also caught up with Tom Curzon's at Ilkeston. He's got 17 in all competitions this season, absolutely flying, and he's got a really interesting story. He's kind of started came through the academy at Met Police and then sort of kind of through going to universities, now kind of making his name in the Midlands. And he's sort of talking about all the different experiences he's had of being out on loan at Bagshot League, and then going up and, you know, playing for Gainsborough Trinity and having to drop down at Long Eaton. And really interesting story, and a player who's kind of been talked about and looked at, and the club have openly said that they've knocked back bids from him already. And he's kind of so switched on, he's not even worrying about that, thinking about that. He's just trying to put the ball in the back of the net as much as he can for Ilkeston. And yeah, it was an interesting chat. So we've got that going in this week's paper as well. And FA Trophy previews ahead of next week. FA Vars previews ahead of next week. Yeah, there's lots going on there. FA Cup is the big thing, but there's always, that's the beauty of non-league football. There's always plenty to happen. And we've obviously got the number 9 derby, isn't there, as well? Stourbridge against Halesowen, to see how that one goes as well. So, yeah, lots going on.
Oh, well, look forward to reading all about it. Thanks as ever, Matt, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
And that then it is it for this week. But of course, there was more breaking news after speaking with Matt Badcock. More news on that managerial merry-go-round. On the managerial front, then, Mark Moulsey and Weymouth have parted company. Jason Matthews taking interim charge. And Kevin Green has been announced as the new man at Haywards Heath Town. Up at St Albans City, Ian Culverhouse is the new boss, bringing with him his faithful number 2 and Saints legend Paul Bazza Bastock. Before I let you go, one for the Statos to look out for too. Our friends over at Non-League HQ have flagged up that across steps 1-6 already this season, well, as of Wednesday afternoon, we were only 73 goals short of a 30,000 total. That's the magic of non-league. Just a handful of games between then and Saturday's action have been played. So somebody will score that 30,000th goal sometime just after 3 p.m. on Saturday, I would imagine. Could it be you? Don't forget to get involved on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GS7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers and all good and bad podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe then, enjoy your football. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.